Morning to you, or good afternoon to you. Nice to be here with you in Bethany. We're going to have a wee look at what I think is a well-known Bible story. I'm always a little bit wary of saying well-known, because nowadays you sometimes get folks who never know some of the stories that have become well-known to us. But it's in Luke chapter 19, and it's a story about Jesus meeting Zacchaeus. So already some of you have begun to preach the sermon, because you'll know the story really quite well. But we're going to take time to read it. It's a really major, important story told in a few words. Some of the remarkable things about a Bible, you get a whole lot of important information, and the writers are able to be very concise and precise, and they give us a whole lot of information, and they do it in a very short space of time. So we're just going to take time just to read this little story. And this is what it says. He entered Jericho, and that's Jesus, who entered Jericho and was passing through, and there was a man named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich, and he was seeking to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was of small stature. So he ran on ahead and climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today. So he hurried and came down and received him joyfully. And when they saw it, they all grumbled, he has gone to be the guest of a man who is a sinner. And Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, Lord, behold, the half of my goods I give to the poor, and if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I restore it fourfold. And Jesus said to him, today salvation has come to this house, since he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Now I'm sure the Lord already will have blessed us just by reading that very simple story that's recorded for us by Luke. He seemed to think it was important that as he's writing his record of the life of the Lord Jesus, it's obviously Luke felt it was important that this story should be included in the record. And John has this to say. When John's writing his gospel, this is how John puts it when he comes to near the end of the gospel. He says, I'm writing these things that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, and in believing you might have life in his name. So John gives a reason for writing his gospel. Now Luke does as well. Luke gives a reason for writing his. He examines, he said, he has gone and interviewed, and he has discovered the truth of the story of the Lord Jesus. So my feeling is that these stories are included not just to use up space, but they are included because the messengers feel that it has an important message for those of us living in today's generation. And so Jesus has now decided to go to Jericho to meet a man called Zacchaeus. Now, we don't know a whole lot about Zacchaeus. There are certain things that we need to kind of take for granted or infer. And one of the first things that we would need to take for granted, I believe, is this, that Zacchaeus would have been Jewish. More than likely, that would be his nationality, a Jewish man. Whether at one time a religious Jewish man, well, we don't know. From the story, it might be suggested that at one point in his life, he might have been a conscientious, believing Jewish man. But in this story, we find him now living in Jericho, away from the kind of religious center of the Jewish religion. And he's now in Jericho. And we discover that he's a tax gatherer. He now is, though Jewish, he's now working for the Roman oppressors. Hard to imagine how he would make that journey from his Jewish nationality to now working for the Roman authorities. Here's the question I'm going to ask. How did Zacchaeus How did he get to becoming a tax gatherer working for the opposing authorities? What happens to people when they make that kind of journey away from what they originally believed, away from what they know to be true, and they make that journey to becoming something or involved in things that they never ever thought they would? I don't know if any of you folks have ever been on that kind of a journey where you look back on your life or you're examining your life and you're saying things like this to yourself: how could I possibly have ever done that? How could I possibly ever have gone there? What is it that happened in my life that brought me to this position? I would guess most of us, if not all of us in this little room here today, will at sometimes question ourselves as to why, what brought about these circumstances in our lives. Now, I know I do. And I do ask myself these questions. What is it about me? What is it? How was it that I managed to get to that kind of point in my life? To do things, to say things, to be in places that I never ever imagined I would ever do. Now, I think in some ways the story of Zacchaeus kind of speaks to folks like you and I, because I'm pretty certain that Zacchaeus' plan for his life as a young man was certainly not to be a tax collector. Pretty certain of that. That wouldn't have been his ambition. It was not something that he felt he would likely do. But being a tax gatherer was something that he became. So we're kind of thinking about that little story. And the reason I'm saying that is because there's an important verse at the end where the Lord Jesus says, "I come to seek and to save that which was lost." And so we're going to examine that just a little bit this morning. But we're thinking about this man, Zacchaeus, now finding himself in a situation and in a position that possibly was not part of his plans for his life. And I guess there'll be those of us in this room, and we're sitting here just now, and we may well be saying, there are things that have happened in my life that definitely were not part of my plans. They are not what I imagined I would ever be involved in or doing. And Zacchaeus is that kind of a person. He's now finding himself in a situation, and it's very clear by the story, he's in a position that he has great and deep regrets about. Because when Jesus comes to visit Jericho, there is only really one person that Zacchaeus wants to meet, and that's Jesus. Now, that's a good part of the story, isn't it? When we examine our lives, the history of our lives, the incidents of our lives, there comes a time, and I pray that there will be a time and has been a time, and it may be this morning is the time, when we understand that the solving of our problems, the answer to our need, is Jesus. The answer to our need is Jesus. And Zacchaeus, for all the problems and difficulties of his life, of all the disappointments personal that he had in his life, this day becomes an important day for Zacchaeus. He hears that Jesus is going to be passing through Jericho, and it's important for him to be there. There are two kind of activities that happen in most of our lives. We're going to be looking at both of them this morning. Here's one of the first decisions that Zacchaeus makes on his journey back to godliness and to holiness and to forgiveness. This is really the first step of that journey that Zacchaeus makes. I don't know if we're reading or if I'm reading too much into it. What I do know about Zacchaeus is this, that he had prospered. He was rich. And I don't think it's reading too much into the story to say this, that in spite of his prosperity and his riches, he was a miserable wretch. And very often these two things go hand in hand together, where the ambition for material things often results in us moving away from relationship with the Lord. And so Zacchaeus now finds himself this day in Jericho, weighing up where his life is now, what he maybe hoped that it would be, but he's been unsuccessful, and he now finds himself estranged. But he hears that Jesus is coming, and he makes the choice to meet with Jesus, or at least to see him. It doesn't suggest that he had an intention of meeting Jesus. He maybe had a secret wish that he might, but all that it tells us in this little story is that he desired, he wanted to see Jesus. Now that's kind of important that we emphasize that little part of the story. And I wonder how many of us in this little room this morning, including myself, how many of us desperately want to see Jesus? We want to be near him. We want to see him. We want to know about him. We want to hear him. We want him to be in our presence. We just want to be near Jesus. And I'm going to suggest that that really is the first and important step in the recovery of this man called Zacchaeus. He wanted to see Jesus. Don't know what he knew about him. I don't know what he believed about him. But this we do know, that Jesus, as far as Zacchaeus was concerned, was someone that he needed to meet. And so he put himself out of his way to meet Jesus. He decided that whatever else happened on that particular day, he was going to meet Jesus. And my prayer is that would represent somebody in this meeting place today, that they just want to come back to the Lord. They want to know Jesus. And so they've put themselves about, if you like, to be in this meeting place this morning, just in order to see Jesus. But there are two activities. We mentioned that this morning when we started our little talk. A couple of activities going on. Not only does Zacchaeus want to see Jesus, something maybe even more important than that, or certainly as important as that, Jesus wanted to meet Zacchaeus. Now that's important. There's the two activities that are going on. There's Zacchaeus' desire to see Jesus, and there's a determination on the part of the Lord Jesus to meet with Zacchaeus. And we're told that the Lord Jesus is now going to be going through, he's journeying towards Jerusalem, he's now going through Jericho, and his intention on what seemed to be an unorganized, unplanned visit, it was in fact organized and planned that he might meet this little man called Zacchaeus. Now, how do we know that? Well, the Lord Jesus gives us the clue as to why he was in Jericho. And this is what the Lord Jesus says, that he has come to seek and to save that which was lost. For the Son of Man, and you folks will know that the Son of Man is a term that refers to the Lord Jesus. And it says this, that the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. I want us just to spend a minute or two just thinking about the words that the Lord Jesus used. It speaks about him seeking. Now, I don't know this because I don't know Hebrew or Aramaic or any of these other languages, but like you folks, I do have access to a dictionary. And here's what the word seek means, if you were to look up the book, Young's Concordance. He says this of the word seek. It has a fairly wide understanding, a wide meaning. It means to desire. It means to require. And it means to question. These three elements are in the word seeking. The Lord Jesus is now seeking out Zacchaeus. And he's seeking out Zacchaeus in order that he might question or discuss, have a conversation with him. It's not just a meeting as we are meeting on a casual basis. It is a meeting with purpose. It's a meeting with purpose. He desires, it's an intention of the Lord Jesus that he should meet this man, Zacchaeus. It isn't casual. It isn't unplanned. The Lord Jesus desires to meet Zacchaeus. He desires to meet him. He is seeking with his heart to be able to discover and to find Zacchaeus. Now, isn't that a wonderful message to understand about this? Jesus says that he is seeking to save the lost. He's seeking. He desires an audience with those of us that know ourselves to be lost. He is desiring to meet with us. He wants to have a conversation with us. Now, when you think about the story of Zacchaeus, as it's told here in Luke chapter 19, these elements are now becoming very plain to us. Because we know this, that when the Lord Jesus came to where Zacchaeus was, he looked up and he said, "Zacchaeus, come down." The Lord Jesus knew that Zacchaeus was there. There was awareness on the part of the Lord Jesus that this was a purpose of his visit to Jericho, was to meet this little man. And he met him. So what happened next? Well, the Bible tells us that Zacchaeus came down and they went to the house. And they had, we think at least, had a meal. That is followed by Zacchaeus now making a statement that he would give half of his goods to the poor, and if he had taken money falsely from any person, he would return it fourfold. Now here's what we're told. They went back to the house for a meal, and Zacchaeus left that house converted. So what happened? Well, the word seek tells us this. It has the idea of questioning. So obviously the Lord Jesus went back to the home of Zacchaeus with an intention and a purpose to have a conversation with Zacchaeus. To question him. What question might he have wanted to ask Zacchaeus? Well, here's a question that he might well have wanted to ask Zacchaeus. Zacchaeus, how on earth did you manage to come into this position? What has happened in your life that you now find yourself ostracized from your own people, your own nation, and you're now doing stuff that you would never ever imagine that you would have done? And so he would have challenged them and had a conversation about Zacchaeus' life. Now he might have said something like this to Zacchaeus. "Zacchaeus, you should know better. You were brought up differently. You were taught the law of God. You're a man that knows the ways of God and the law of God. What is it that's happened in your life?" And I think the Lord Jesus would have brought Zacchaeus to a place of confession, of honesty, where Zacchaeus is now faced with the Lord Jesus, who knows his heart, and brings him to a place of confession and of repentance. Now, how do I know that Zacchaeus is likely to have known the law? Well, the clue is this, that Zacchaeus said this: "If I've taken anything from anybody, I will repay it fourfold." How did Zacchaeus know to do that? Was this part of the conversation he had with the Lord Jesus? Or is this now something he remembers from his Sunday school days? Something from when he was reading the law, when he was having the law explained to him? Well, the answer is yes, very clearly. Because in the law, that was the requirement of the law. If someone stole anything, they had to pay back what they stole fourfold. And so this little man is now being confronted. And I like this. He's being confronted with what he learned as a youth. what he knew about God and God's word. And he now meets Jesus, and his mind is being refreshed and challenged from the scriptures. Now, very often, my experience, at least anyway, coming to meetings like this, I often feel, that when I look at my audience, I'm speaking to the converted, people who already understand and believe the message. That's how I feel about it very often when I come to speak in gospel halls or places like this. But I've learned something, not only because sometimes I sit in these seats and listen to people. I've learned something. Jesus wants to meet those of his own people who have gone astray. And very often, those of us who know the Lord or have known the Lord in the past, we discover that we've made a journey away from the Lord. And we find ourselves involved in a way of life that's not godly, that's a backsliding or a backslidden way of life. And we know it, and we are unhappy about it. And there is this idea, this desire in our hearts, I would like to meet Jesus. I would like my life to be different. And I would like to meet with Jesus. And so the meeting takes place. Jesus has been seeking this little man, Zacchaeus. And he arranges and organizes an appointment where he meets the Lord, where he meets Zacchaeus. It says, or the Lord Jesus says, that he's come to seek and to save that which was lost. And so I looked up the word lost in Young's Concordance. And the idea of the word lost is to loose away, to become separate from. Now that certainly, as I read it and think about it, seems to be suggesting that at one time there was a connection between Zacchaeus, if you like, and God. But that connection had become severed. Zacchaeus was now loosed away. He had become estranged from a relationship with God. And he was lost. In the sense of at one time having belonged, he is now lost. Now, how true is that of your life and my life? Is that an experience that you know yourself to have? Is that we at one time were in fellowship with the Lord. Our lives were in tune, but we've become separated. We've loosed away. We've become separated from the Lord and from his will and his purposes in our lives. The Lord Jesus says, I've come to seek, to have a conversation with, to discuss with, to bring back to myself those that have become estranged from me. It's really like a story of the lost son and the lost sheep. It's really a Bible story about the love of God, the heart of God for his people and for the lost sheep of Israel, as they're described, where the Lord has a desire for reunion and for fellowship with those that are lost. If you think the way I think, and this word lost, and if it does mean, and the scholars say that it means to lose away, or to loose away, it's the idea of a slow distancing yourself from the source. It's the idea not of a sudden break and distancing. It's really got the idea of a progressing distancing. And that really is how backsliding happens, isn't it? It's a slow process. And then we find ourselves, like Zacchaeus does, far away from God. And so this might be a word for someone in this audience this morning. Might be for me. We've come distant. We've been loosed away. There's been that moving away from our relationship with the Lord Jesus. So what he says is this, I've come to seek and to save that which is lost. We come to the third word, and the third word is the word saved. And Young's Concordance says of this word, it is a word that means to keep safe, to keep safe, or to keep sound. It's a lovely word. It seems to have the idea of continuing protection. Not just to keep safe, as you would take something valuable and stick it in a safe and lock it, and then you never use it, but you know where it is and it's safe. This isn't that kind of idea. It implies that. It's the real implication is to keep us safe while being used. To keep us safe while we are living as Christians. It's a kind of a custody sergeant, and some will remember what that means, to be walking alongside, to be keeping an eye on and supervising and keeping safe that person that is in your custody. And this is really, if you like, the story that the Lord Jesus is now expressing here. I want to walk alongside you and to be with you in your life. I want to keep you safe. I want to keep you sound. I want to protect you. I want to be with you. And so the Lord Jesus concludes this little story by saying this, that I've come to seek and to save that which was lost. The word come is another interesting word that the Lord Jesus says here, I've come. And Young uses this expression of the word come, and I must admit I enjoyed it. He uses the word arrived. Arrived. I'm here. This is my intended destination. This is why I set off on my journey to Jericho. Zacchaeus, you are always in my mind and in my heart. And I've arrived. I think that's lovely. I've arrived. I'm here. Almost as if Zacchaeus might have been expecting him. Almost as if the desires of Zacchaeus' heart has now been met. Only if I could meet Jesus. If it might just be possible for me to meet Jesus. And Jesus says, Zacchaeus, I've arrived. Let's go to your house. Let's go to your house and have a meal and a conversation, because this moment has been in my purposes and my plans, as it has been in yours, and I've arrived. I've come to my destination, my reason for being in Jericho. I think it's a beautiful story. I think it's a lovely story. The story of this plan of the Lord to meet someone who has been loosed away, someone who has become estranged from God. And Jesus puts himself on a journey to Jericho to meet this little man. And what does this man do? Well, we know this story is a story that is told before the Lord Jesus Christ died. So it wouldn't have been a gospel-type conversation as we understand the gospel, that the Lord Jesus had died on a cross, because this story would have taken place before that. But there are important elements that we can see in this story that bears in on us today. We looked at the two elements, and we mentioned them briefly, two things that Zacchaeus did. First of all, it says that he repaid to those that he had robbed four times what he had taken from them. Now, here's something we need to know about that. That wasn't voluntary. That had to happen. For salvation to take place in the life of Zacchaeus, he had to obey the law of God. This was now, if you like, compulsory. This was repentance that he knew from the word of God that was necessary. It had to be a change of heart and mind, a confession of I am guilty. It had to be that. It was an awareness that he had broken the law of God and that he needed, Zacchaeus needed to do something about it. And so the first thing was compulsory. That was part of what he needed to do. He had to confess his sins. Now, the word confess, as many of you folks know, possibly all of you know, has got an interesting meaning. It doesn't mean that Zacchaeus would now be telling Jesus something that Jesus didn't know. That's not confession in the Bible sense. Confession in the Bible sense is that Jesus would be telling Zacchaeus what it was he was being accused of. So Jesus would be saying to Zacchaeus, Zacchaeus, you're a thief. You've stolen. You've broken the law of God. And this is what Zacchaeus would have to say. Guilty. And that's confession. Confession isn't you telling God what he doesn't know. Confession is you answering to God an accusation that he makes against you or against me. And the admission is guilty as charged. Nowhere to go, nowhere to hide. I'm guilty. And he confessed his sin. He agreed his sin to the Lord Jesus. So what must he do about that? Well, repentance means to turn away from. That's what it means, to turn away from. And so this little man who had now stolen, in his act of repentance, his confession, which would be verbal, the proving of his confession and his confession to God, which was private, is now seen publicly in that he restores to those that he stole from 4 times what he took. Not because he was a good lad, not because he was a nice lad, not because he kind of wanted to please people, but because that was the law. He had to redeem, he had to pay back what he took. And folks, that's the story of our lives. Repentance is doing something about the sins that we commit. Confessing them, agreeing with God that we are a sinner, and just simply asking his forgiveness. Now he did a second thing. He said, half the goods that I've got, I'm going to give them to the poor. Now, did he need to do that? Well, the answer is no, he didn't. That wasn't part, if you like, of the deal. Part of the deal, or the essential part of the deal and confession and repentance, was to restore 4 times what he'd taken from people. This other element was voluntary. I'm going to give half of my goods to the poor. So what was he doing by doing that? He was showing his gratitude to the Lord for forgiveness. Hold your way of thinking and dealing with people. And they would notice the difference in this little man's life. A man who was a thief and a robber. He now is giving voluntarily to the poor, to the people that he robbed, to the people whose lives he made miserable. He is now restoring to them. He is now giving them as an act of love to God and to these folks. He's now making available his riches. And there's the twofold story that we read here in this little extract from possibly a larger incident that took place in Jericho. A man brought back to God, and his life changed, not just privately, but publicly. And he now lives a life of generosity and of love. And it's in the public arena, it's in the public square. And that really, for me, is the story of Zacchaeus. Jesus said this, I've come to seek, and you now know what the word seek means. And I've come to save, and you know what the word save means. That which was lost, had become lost, and is to restore us back to our relationship with himself. And I pray that's something for all of our hearts this morning, for mine as well as for yours. That we will have a desire, just like Zacchaeus, to meet the Lord, to put ourselves in his way so that he might meet us and deal with our lives in an appropriate way. And I'm going to leave that story with us this morning. I'm going to take it away with me. As I brought it here this morning, it's going to stay with me. And I do pray that it will with you as well. This might be something for you, just as it's something for me. Let's just pray. Father, I just want to thank you that you're a seeking God. You're seeking those of us who have got lost, become lost. And your desire is for relationship with us. And we just pray that today might be a day in our lives when we will meet with you again and our hearts will be opened up to receive your forgiveness and your love. And so I pray for your blessing upon each one of us in this little room this morning, that as we've read your word and considered it, you would speak to each one of our hearts. Our prayer is in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.